Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Tuesday, the 9th of April 2024. The Australian share market rose today by around 0.5%. We'll speak with Raz Bouyan from Wavestone Capital for more in a few moments. But first, to consumer sentiment, because consumers are looking to the government and Reserve Bank to ease cost of living pressures as confidence edged significantly lower in April. The Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Index fell to a reading of 82.4. Anything below 100 suggests pessimists outnumber optimists, and this two-year period of deep consumer pessimism is actually the second longest outside of the 1990s recession. So for more, I spoke with Matthew Hassan, senior economist at Westpac. So Matt, this is the second most protracted period of deep consumer pessimism since the mid-1970s. What's keeping it at those levels, and how is it different to weak periods in the past?
Yeah, we're into 2 years now of this protracted period of consumer gloom. It really relates to the, you know, the post-COVID inflation lockdown that we've now seen 3 years of persistently high inflation. We're over 2 years into a policy tightening, and there's still no clear end in sight around these pressures. And for consumers, there's both the direct impact of the cost of living that they're having to deal with day to day, as well as the various policy tightening. Ordinarily, if we had a downturn in the economy, it wouldn't be like this. We wouldn't have this inflation dimension, and policymakers would be in a much better position to provide some support to consumers in response to a weak period in the economy. Instead, this time around, inflation is the overriding issue, and it's precluding both the RBA and the federal governments from providing more material support to consumers until we get this inflation back under control. So it's a much longer downturn, as you said, the second longest we've seen outside of that very deep and protracted early 90s recession. And I really feel for consumers. This is a very long period of stagnation that we're having to work through, and it's a very difficult one for most consumers.
So are there any signs at all of a recovery?
Look, there are some tentative signs of improvement. We ask questions around expectations for family finances. We are starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel. You know, the stage three tax cuts coming out in July are a big part of that picture. And I think if and when we get a clearer signal that inflation is tracking back towards targets, particularly if we get more positive messaging from the RBA on that front, then I would expect some improvement around expectations for family finances and the wider economy. We're just not there yet. And so for consumers, they're still really doing it tough through this cost of living pressure. Where there's another sort of positive out of the survey, it's really around jobs. You know, people are struggling in general, but they're still pretty comfortable around their job security. They're not fearing imminent job loss by and large. They're quite comfortable there. So they seem reasonably well positioned to continue to weather this long period of cost of living pressures, but it's still pretty hard going in general.
Obviously, jobs is what the Reserve Bank is looking at when it's thinking about where to move interest rates, which I want to ask you in just a second. But right now, though, how are consumers exactly adjusting their behaviours as a result? And what does it say about the economy?
So what we're seeing very clearly is a economising on spending that's happening at a per capita level. Consumer spending was basically flat in aggregate last year. Given we've got 2.5% population growth, that's a material decline in per capita spend. And it's quite broad based, more severe at lower income and lower age groups. But people are definitely reining in their spending, reining in their discretionary spending and economising, looking for cheaper options wherever they're available. And I think that's now 2 years into that behaviour, and we're seeing it continue in 2024. What we're seeing is a protracted period of consumer stagnation. It's not like the usual cycles we've seen in the past. where we've seen a short, sharp shock, you know, through business investment and employment, for example, coming out of the GFC or during COVID or in previous cycles. They've tended to emanate from the business sector. This is a different beast. It's about inflation and a much more gradual, slow burn in terms of the consumer spending picture. And so it's a much slower, more protracted period of stagnation rather than a short, sharp shock that's seeing unemployment suddenly rise.
All right. So what's the view on interest rates, both for the consumer and what's Westpac thinking?
Well, look, it really hinges on the inflation results we get in the next few months. And the March quarter CPI due out later this month is the next big marker on the inflation side of things. We think it'll be quite a positive update, that inflation will make a more convincing move into the 3 to 3.5% range for the headline rate, 3.5 to 4% for underlying. And that'll give a bit more confidence for the RBA that they're tracking back towards that 2 to 3% target. And hopefully on the back of that, we'll get a more positive message from the following the May RBA board meeting, that certainly the prospect of further rate hikes will have diminished and perhaps even opening the door a little bit to perhaps some easing down the line. But they're going to be very cautious around this. They're going to want to see very clear evidence of a sustained move back to target. And so it may not be until the second half of this year that we get some much clearer positive messaging from the RBA. We think they're on track and that by September, they'll be in a position to start lowering interest rates and easing up some of the pressure on the household sector. But even then, they're likely to be quite cautious. You know, we still have quite a tight labour market. There'll be some residual concerns about inflation going forward, and they're not going to go on a slash and burn rate cut path that we've sort of seen in response to those previous cycles. They're going to go carefully, ensuring that inflation is well under control every step of the way. But we think September is sort of the beginning of the window for some easing in policy. And of course, we do have some easing in fiscal policy before then with the stage three tax cuts in July.
Matthew Hassan there from Westpac.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
To the Australian share market now, which did climb the S&P ASX 200 up 0.5% to 7,824. For more, I spoke with Raz Bouyan from Wavestone Capital. So Raz, the share market is up today. Why?
I guess overnight the markets were reasonably buoyant, and especially for Australia, you obviously had the iron ore price up quite significantly. Remembering the iron ore price has actually fallen quite a bit, but more recently, last night and today, we've probably seen almost like a 10% move in the iron ore price. And that's obviously helped the diversified miners, BHP and Rio. Fortescue is up as well. So the resource sector all up was up 1.5%.
I'm glad you mentioned the miners, because we can't talk the miners without talking about China. China, a lot of attention at the moment. US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen wrapping up a visit there. Some stocks doing well off the back of China stimulus. Is that likely? And what's Wavestone's take on China?
It's interesting because I'm actually in China next week. But our view is that what's generally happened over the last little bit is that the US economy has been quite strong. And that's basically dragged global growth up. And that's obviously positive for China, which is the factory to the world. China hasn't come through with a stimulus. And in fact, if you look at this kind of the property market has been quite weak since the Chinese New Year. But our expectation is that because the global growth signals are better, the export sector in China will do better. And therefore, the government's basically got a bit more room to move. And therefore, we think that at this stage, we're not going to see a new stimulus, but the government's basically quite keen to try and stabilize the economy. And you saw that with the Chinese government putting up a growth target this year for 5%. So the fact that that looks pretty aggressive in the context of how weak the economy has been. But I think if we start to see global PMIs pick up as we're seeing right now, that's definitely going to be a positive for the Chinese economy, given it's so dependent on exports and trade.
I think one of the key events for the market will be the US inflation numbers to be out in a few days' time. How important is this, and what's it likely to imply for the path of future interest rate cuts?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, if you go back in time in January, the market was expecting the Fed to cut rates almost six times. So there was 150 basis points, which was priced in. Today, if you look at the markets, there's only a 50-50 chance for the June cut, which was almost like a certainty a few months ago. So we're looking at like 150 basis points of cuts, which are being priced in. And so the CPI number is actually quite important. You obviously saw the payrolls a few days ago, which was at 303,000, which is quite strong. So if you do get a CPI print, which is north of the 0.3 that the street's going for, the markets will tend to bet on a probably, you know, June's going to be even less likely. But having said that, I think Powell, the Federal Reserve Chair, has basically been talking about a rate cut as early as June, remembering that it's an election year as well. And I suspect that the Fed would not like to politicize the environment. So it makes it quite tricky actually going forward.
And finally, in this environment, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
I think if you look at the markets, they've been incredibly strong from the October lows. And so what you've seen is a big run in the cyclical. So you definitely need to see better earnings come through. And of course, you've got a raft of earnings releases coming through for the first quarter in the US, with companies, banks like JP Morgan and Wells reporting this week. So you need earnings upgrades to come through, which is what's reflected in markets. So for the rally to sustain, to be honest, you need earnings upgrades. I mean, in Australia, obviously, you know, the miners have largely lagged. But if you do start to see global kind of PMIs, as we've said, tick up and global growth's better, then you'd probably see some kind of opportunities in the mining sector.
It's Raz Bouyan there from Wavestone Capital.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.